Today I want to share with you on a subject called gambling, right or wrong. We pastors get asked all kind of questions about what is right, what is wrong for believers. We don't live by a set of rules and regulations. We can't earn our salvation. That's all paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. So today all I want to do is just share my heart with you about what I think the Bible says to me. Forget about being a pastor, just being a Christian, what the Bible says about gambling. Several years ago, Delaney and I were on vacation with her mom in North Carolina. We had two vehicles there. Delaney and her mom decided to go shopping, and they went down into South Carolina. We were staying about 30 miles from the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. I was out playing golf all day. And when I got back to the condominium, the phone was ringing. I answered the phone, and Delaney was in a panic. She said, I was driving Mom's car down the interstate, and we had a total power failure in the car. No brakes, no power steering, nothing. And she said, I was able to get us safely off the road, and then she coasted into a little convenience store parking lot. It took me about 45 minutes to get there. Delaney's mom was absolutely in a panic. She was seated there in one of the little deli areas with Delaney, nervous as she could be. When I looked against the walls, it was surrounded by video poker machines. Now, if you knew my mother-in-law, that was not my mother-in-law. I wanted to take a picture of this just to have it for posterity, but it was forbidden. Well, I want you to know it took 2 or 3 hours for us to get a wrecker there to tow her automobile. While we were there, there was a young man who had just gotten paid that Friday. And he was at a video poker machine, just loading it up with money and winning absolutely nothing. A girl came in, it was either his girlfriend or his wife, and she was absolutely livid and she begged him not to spend all of his money. He spent every dime. Physically, they got into a fight. Then they took it outside to the parking lot. And then he came back in and asked the clerk at the convenience store, how do I take my MasterCard to the ATM to get cash so I can play some more video poker? How sad. Now listen to me carefully. When you see the advertisements for lottery on television, that picture, that scenario is never shown. We talk about gambling. You'll notice that the gambling, and I use this word loosely, industry, has renamed itself. Now we call this gaming. Now the question is it right or wrong for society, according to the Word of God, or is it right or wrong for believers? Tony Evans is one of my favorite preachers in the whole wide world. He has written a great book that I hope you'll get, and it's called Gambling and the Lottery. And there he tells about some people that he knew, a precious couple, Steve and Kate. They've been married 16 years. They had a couple of children. He said for Steve's 40th wedding anniversary, they decided they'd take a trip to Las Vegas. They didn't gamble, but they decided on this special occasion they'd set aside $40 to play in the slots or anything else they wanted to do. Well, it was a great trip. They had a wonderful celebration. They stuck to their $40 limit, didn't win anything. But something changed with this mom. She got hooked on gambling, just risking $40. Her husband did not know this. She paid the bills in the family. She quit writing the mortgage payment, and the husband didn't know it. She pawned their wedding rings, and the husband didn't know it. Until finally, they got a foreclosure notice for their house. It had been repossessed and they had to move. Now this was a lady who was a great mom. She was a wonderful volunteer down at their local church. Everything on the surface appeared to be great. A fine, godly lady. On the day that they were supposed to move, she took their children to school, came back to their repossessed house, took a gun, and killed herself. Her husband said, "I guess she couldn't face me or a pastor or anybody else." But as he began to go into her personal belongings, he found a paper trail that read like a diary of her hidden life aboard the gambling boats along the Mississippi River. Now I want you to write this down, not in your outline. What is gambling? There are three factors involved in gambling. First of all, there must be a payoff of money or merchandise. A payoff of money or merchandise. Second thing you want to write down, the awarding of the payoff must be based on chance. Now, sometimes skill, but most of the time, chance. And then number three, eligibility for the prize is dependent not only on chance taking, but also a payment or agreement to pay by the player. A noted economist named Arthur Smith said, "Gambling is defined properly, and economics designates the deliberate creation of risk of a kind not inherent in or necessary to the functioning of an economic society." He also said it's the deliberate wagering or staking of important or valuable considerations upon events which, so far as the parties to the wager can know, based on chance or luck. Now, some people come to me and they'll say, "Well, Pastor, buying stocks and bonds, that would be gambling." Listen to me carefully. The ownership of bonds, stocks, insurance. Listen carefully. Corporate business must raise capital to build plants, buy and install machinery, buy raw materials, hire workers, and produce goods. Stocks represent ownership in such enterprises. Bonds represent loan to those companies. Risks are involved, but they are necessary risks to be assumed by someone. And these risks help to produce positive results in our society. It is true that if you're doing certain kind of high-risk trading in the stock market, you are actually gambling. But I want you to know, some people just gamble on any kind of venture. Our problem for Christians is this. God didn't write an 11th commandment in Exodus chapter 20. He did not write, "Thou shalt not gamble." So people say, "Well, it's all right if I want to gamble, even though I'm a Christian." There are many different kinds of gambling: lottery, slot machines, cards, dice, sporting events, numbers games, horse racing, dog racing. We could name others. Now listen to me carefully. People in America spend over $600 billion in gambling alone every year. Listen to me carefully. God is not anti-wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. God gives the ability to a person to become wealthy. You remember in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, you find the story there of a master who left some money to three different men. And the master said, "Take care of this till I get back." And you remember when the master came back, two of those men doubled their money. They invested it and doubled it. The other man buried his in a hole. He returned the principal, exactly what the master had given into his trust, into the servant's trust. But you remember the master scolded him and condemned him for not earning interest on that money to return the master more than he had given the servant. So God has no problem with wealth and no difficulty with risk-taking per se. But let's look at the difference between legitimate risk and illegitimate gambling. The first thing I want you to see is the problem of greed over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's look at verse 5 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 through 10. "And constant friction between people of corrupt mind have been robbed of the truth, who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The question you got to ask behind what you're doing is, what is my motive? Tony Evans said that he knew a man who came to church one Sunday and he just looked so sad. And Tony went up to him and said, You don't appear that you have any joy today. He said, man, I'm just really upset. He said, what's wrong with you? The guy said, well, my uncle died 3 weeks ago and left me $75,000. And he said, 2 weeks ago, my aunt died and left me $50,000. Tony Evans said, what's the big deal? He said, you got $75,000 in inheritance 3 weeks ago. You got $50,000 2 weeks ago. The man looked at him and said, I tell you what the problem is. Nobody died this week. I didn't get anything. Greed, listen to me carefully. Greed is a consistent desire to have more or demand the best without regard to your need. The opposite of greed is contentment. Notice back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, go back to verse 5b through 19, one of the best statements on greed and contentment in the Bible. Notice verse 6, godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And then Paul goes on to explain that when we leave this place, listen, when we leave this world, our wallets stay right here. Therefore, a consuming desire to get rich can only lead you to the temptation and the snare of making some foolish, harmful decisions. Now, greed is not necessarily tied to how much you have. You can be rich and greedy. You can be poor and greedy. You can be middle class and greedy. Because the heart of greed is the desire for more. I don't mean it's wrong to want a better house or newer car or anything like that. But if you can't be content with where you are until or unless God takes you to where you want to be, you're greedy. God condemns greed. And listen to me carefully. If you are participating in the state-sanctioned lottery, why do you want to do that? Is it to help our education system? Is it to put more police officers out on the streets? What is your motivation? Now listen carefully. Do you want to play the lottery because the government has come up with a way for a get-rich-quick scheme? And with that motivation, people forfeit God's biblical means to wealth because He says those who participate in get-rich-quick schemes will not go unpunished. Now don't misunderstand. The problem is not being rich. It's the greed mentality that people use to get it. Let's think about gambling addiction. I was reading the other day, what's the definition of a gambler? Gambling addicts, also known as pathological gamblers, compulsive gamblers, or individuals who are unable to control their compulsive impulses to gamble despite gambling's detrimental effects of social, financial, and psychological health. Many gambling addicts can be found in casinos, at the races, or with bookies, online gambling. Morgan Stanley has predicted that by the year 2020, just online gambling will total $9.3 billion. Now, let me tell you, if you have a college student, and they're off getting to that education at that dream college, I want you to know statistics have shown us that the highest percentage of first-time gamblers right now are college students. 23% of college students are involved with online gambling. About 15 years ago, you wouldn't know this lady. She was not a member of our church, never a member of our church. And I don't know exactly why she called me, but she called me and came to see me on several occasions. Her husband passed away. She had a son that was hooked on drugs. She's one of these guys, very intelligent, but thrown his life away. In fact, she said one time she had kicked her son, who was about 35 years old, out of her house. And she said, one night she heard some noise under her house. It was pouring rain. And when she looked underneath her house, her son was sleeping in the crawl space of the house with his dog. Well, why did she come to see me? Well, she came to see me about her son, but here's what else she came for. Her husband was a professional in our community. He had retired. They had a nice home, great retirement. Everything was wonderful. He got sick and died. Guess what? She had zero idea that he was a gambler. When he died, she found out that he had taken out a second mortgage on their house. It was about to be repossessed. He spent all of their personal savings and all their retirement savings. And then she was getting billed for about $150,000 in gambling debts. What do you tell somebody like that? The motive behind what you do. Now notice the purpose of work is undermined by gambling. Exodus 20 verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Turn to Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needs. When God made Adam, put him in a perfect place. And then he made Eve. And remember, God told him, even though this is a perfect place, you're going to have to keep this garden. So he gave them work to do. God's way to financial security is through work, not chance. In Ephesians, Paul wrote that we work to supply the needs of ourselves, our dependents, and have something to give to those who are in need. How many times do you watch television and one of these mega ball jackpots is up? News media goes, and what do they film? People standing in long lines to buy lottery tickets. Then the news media, they'll go up and they'll interview people in line and say, what are you going to do if you win the lottery? I'm going to quit my job. They can take this job and shove it. Isn't that right? How many times do you hear that? Some people quit their jobs when they win. Some people don't. God's design and will for man is if we're physically capable, we ought to work. Our welfare system in America has almost totally destroyed the work ethic of this nation. I think we ought to take care of those who really cannot take care of themselves. I had a man not too long ago, I was talking with him, he has two children. He has a pretty good job, and he said, Preacher, I really don't want to make too much money on my job. I lose those government checks I get on both of my children. How we need to revise the welfare system in America. My dad worked for the phone company for AT&T and Bell South. And when his three kids needed some clothes or we needed a little extra food or we needed to make an improvement on our house, he'd work 60 and 70 hours a week. He worked overtime to make sure he could pay cash for whatever he did. He wasn't looking for a handout. Gambling destroys the desire to work. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes you rich. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Proverbs 12, 11. He who tills the land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues vain things lacks sense. In other words, don't play with fire. Eventually, you'll get burnt. Now, when the gaming industry is lobbying in your state to build casinos, One thing that will always be presented to the politicians is this will create more jobs in your city. I invite you to go to Atlantic City, New Jersey. And you go and look around the casinos, and you'll see in those areas it looks like a war zone. There are companies that have gone out of business. There are houses that are in shambles. Because you see, in places where you have casinos, people will take money they ought to be using to buy a house or to buy a refrigerator or a washer or a dryer and do some things they need to do for their family. And what happens is your community loses dollars to the casino that produces absolutely nothing. Now listen to me carefully. God doesn't mind if we become successful, but He does not want it to come through chance for Christians and being motivated by greed. Now notice the problem for the poor in Amos chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. We're told there in Scripture that we're not to exploit people to get gain for ourselves. Two commandments you want to consider. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 and verse 17. You shall not steal and you shall not covet. What's the difference between stealing and coveting? Stealing means you're going to take something by deceit. Stealing means that you're just going to take maybe by force that which belongs to somebody else. Stealing in the Old Testament was more people-focused, even though it certainly included poverty. Coveting, however, was more property-related. It's focused more on the thing rather than the person. Let me show you why gambling exploits other people. You go back to the lottery. That's the most frequent thing that's put in our face in this community. The lottery exploits people because who buys more lottery tickets than anybody else? Poor people. Go buy gasoline, don't put it on a card, pay cash and go stand in line and watch who's buying lottery tickets. Where I buy gasoline, I don't see many Mercedes or Lexus or any other cars like that pulled up there where people are buying lottery tickets. That's not to say that rich people don't. Listen to me carefully. If you took $50 a month and put it on lottery tickets for about 20 years and you never won, you'd lose $12,000. If you took that same $50 a month and you invested it at 10% interest over 20 years, you'd have $34,365. When two people seek to work out an honest business deal, they're looking for a win-win situation. But in the lottery, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. But when the only way I can win is to make somebody else lose, then my desire to win has turned to exploiting other people. The lottery is one of the most aggressive forms of tax policies in the whole world. Two or three times more aggressive than sales tax. And as such, it puts government in the indefensible position exploiting the poor. Most states are now in the gaming business. The last time I looked, and this may have changed, 48 out of our 50 states are now in the gambling business. And listen to me carefully. Every time we have an election, whether it's local, state, or a national election, there's always gambling lobbies on the side. Just last year, once again, there was pressure on our state legislature to legalize video poker. Video poker is the crack cocaine of the gambling industry. They love to get you involved. U.S. News and World Report said this: the gaming industry insists lotteries cannot be considered a tax because they're a voluntary form of entertainment or even a service provided for the state. But economists say lotteries are an expensive version of the excise tax that the state slaps on liquor and cigarettes. It is the poor who spend the largest portion of the income on lotteries. Now somebody says, now wait a minute, poor people play the lottery voluntarily. Besides, it's legal. Listen, if something is legal, that doesn't necessarily make it right, especially for Christians. You know, when we talk about what's legal, we're getting into those things which are legal and which things are moral. You have to go beyond the legal as a Christian and judge things by biblical morality. And notice the principles of stewardship. Gambling violates the principles of stewardship. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Wealth and accumulation of things are not in themselves evil, but maybe occasion of sin if the owner acquires them in a covetous way or using them without reference to God's intention. Now listen to me carefully. Everything we have is on loan from God. Now you may not believe that. I had a friend in seminary, Marty Reed. He's about 6'4", 6'5". And ladies, he was chiseled. Always liked just hanging out with Marty. When you went to a restaurant, you had a female waitress, your table got a whole lot more attention than if I just went over there with people my size, if you know what I'm talking about. Haven't y'all seen that before? And Marty, his part-time job on the weekends was house-sitting. There were some wealthy people in Fort Worth that they didn't trust their burglar alarms totally, so they put Marty in there, who was trained to kill. Now, if it was a female burglar, she'd just fall in love and leave. She wouldn't even want to fight. But I want you to know, when Marty left those palatial houses, which he had access to everything in the houses, that was it. He had to leave it all behind. It wasn't his. When you leave this world, you're not taking anything with you. Do you know why your children love you so much? They've read the will. You know why your grandchildren love you so much? You spoil them rotten, so they assume they're in the will. Let me give you some advice if you're a senior adult. I've seen this over 35 years of pastoring churches. Don't settle your will before they put you in assisted living or a nursing home. I've seen this over and over because your kids won't come visit you anymore. Always hold a lot of money, a lot of estate over their head, and the only way they can get it is when you're out of here. You don't believe that, but it's true. Now, oftentimes it's been said that common sense is called horse sense. Why do we do that? Because horses don't ever bet on a man. You know, that logic has gone to the winds with Americans. Listen to me carefully. We spend more money, and I use that in the general sense, on gambling than we do on groceries in America. Every year in America, Americans give $17 billion to churches for ministry, while they spend over $600 billion on gambling every year. God has set up His system for every believer. He says we're not to live by chance, we're to live by faith. God's got a way to handle your money. And it's in Malachi chapter 3. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And He says, if you'll do that, the first 10% of your gross income, He says, if you do that as an act of worship, I'll fill up your barns running completely over, mashed down so you won't even know how to handle all of it. Does that mean you're going to get rich quick? No. But that means that God's going to take care of all your needs. I was talking to a young businessman not too long ago, and you wouldn't know who this is. And that person was talking to me, and he said, Pastor, he said, when my family joined Pleasant Valley South, I decided I was going to get it right this time. I said, what are you talking about? He said, my business finances and my personal finances, we decided we were going to tithe. He said, I started giving 10%, and I thought, man, I could have bought so-and-so with that. And I want you to know his business has more than quadrupled since he started trusting God. Now he gives more than the tithe, and he's looking for people to help, and he's involved with missions, and he's doing all these things. And when he was talking to me last week, I said, do you know why that's happened? Because you decided to live by faith and not by chance, and God's blessed you. Gambling becomes bad stewardship when it suggests that God is so tight with money that He can't meet our needs on His plan. And notice the power of your influence. Christians ought to guard their influence. And I want you to know gambling will forfeit that. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Corinthians 10:31, avoid every kind of evil. We're to work to give glory to God. Let me ask you a question. Suppose this week I decided I just go to a local gambling lottery outlet and just go in there and buy me a whole roll of tickets. And so I'm paying, and while I'm paying that young lady that's running the cash register, I said, let me tell you about Jesus, who can save you and change the way you live your life. How far do you think that's going to go? Suppose I'm in one of those convenience stores and I'm in there buying lottery tickets, and your child comes in to buy a Coke, and there's their pastor standing there buying a roll of lottery tickets. What kind of influence am I going to have on your kid? What are you going to do with your witness when you leave your life to chance? Now listen to me carefully. There's nothing wrong with bingo. My mom and dad gave us bingo. We played with when we were kids. And I can remember when we'd be losing, my brother, all of a sudden his card would fall off the table. Y'all know how that is? Oh, we got to start over. He said, same thing happened with Monopoly. Nothing wrong with bingo, but I want you to know, when churches get out here and they start having bingo night and they're playing for cash pots, that's sin. It's wrong. According to the Word of God. God has got a way to fund His ministries. It's called faith giving, giving the tithe. And when you're out here playing bingo for money at churches, here's what you're telling the lost world. God's people plus God does not have the power or the possessions to fund the ministry of God's work. That's what you just did. Listen to me carefully. Suppose you invited a pastor and he had a little gambling problem. You want to hear what he's got to say? Let me ask you this. Suppose we had a pastor up here that had a porn problem, addicted to porn. Do you want to hear anything he's got to say? Absolutely not. Tony Evans said that he had a friend that was a great preacher. And said his friend got invited to Las Vegas to one of the big churches out there to speak one Sunday morning. He said, my friend was put up at one of the big casino hotels. And his preacher friend had never gambled before. And he said his ride from the church was coming by where he was going to speak at 10:30. And so he said he wanted to be on time. So his pastor friend just went down to the lobby and looked out to see if anybody was there to pick him up. Nobody was there. So there were slot machines all around the wall. So he reached in his pocket. He said, it won't hurt anything. My ride's not here yet. And he put his quarter in the slot machine, pulled the handle, and guess what? The guest preacher won the jackpot. So while he's down on his knees picking all this up, guess what happened? The host pastor that was picking him up walked in and caught him on his knees at the base of a slot machine. And I want you to know that guest preacher was never asked to come back to that church to preach again. You know, the choices you make, the more restrictive we ought to be. You know, will you risk bringing harm to other people? Let me ask you a question. What are you modeling for your children? Do we live by faith in our home? Or do we live by chance? Now, I didn't say that if you gamble, you're going to hell. That is not what I said today, was it? What I'm telling you is, for me as a Christian, as I read the Bible, that's something that I absolutely should not participate in at all. I want to live by faith. And I could keep you way past your lunch hour telling you how Delane has blessed us in a lot of ways by faith. And the reason I ran from the call to ministry for 6 months is I thought, literally, we will starve to death pastoring churches. How stupid I was in what a lack of faith. Several years ago, Delane and I were going down I-95 to Florida on vacation. Loved to go down there. We got just on this side of Jacksonville, and we saw this big billboard, Play Lotto. And then at the bottom, in small print, sponsored by the state of Florida. We went a little further, and there's a big sign, like a Lamar sign, all lit up. Come to the track. Bet on the dogs. And down at the bottom, we found out that the dog track gambling was sponsored by the state of Florida. We went to Florida, and obviously we didn't play lotto. We didn't go to the tracks. But in about a week, we were going home. So we're heading I-95 north, and we get on this side of Jacksonville. And here's what we find on the sign. It says, "Are you addicted to gambling?" And then it said, "Call this 800 number for counseling." And the counseling was provided by the state of Florida. Now, let me just share something just from a little old city boy from the other side of the state. I don't trust you if you're giving me something that causes cancer, and then you're telling me you have the cure for cancer. I think that might be a conflict of interest. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once you trust Jesus as Savior, whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. You're adopted into the family of God, and God is your Heavenly Father. And guess what? You get it all. We're co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm just trusting Him to meet my needs. And the Bible says, absent from the body is present with the Lord in a place called heaven, a place we can't even fathom, and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus on streets of gold forever. I'm trusting Him now. And I'm trusting Him with my eternity. Gambling. Is it right or wrong? You get the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. You stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.